Hey guys, welcome to a new Cyclone Fanatic podcast. We're on location today, going up to the Sukup building, where I will talk with Iowa State head coach Steve Prohm. You guys will get to know him in a more personal light. Less basketball talk, more who is Iowa State's head coach. You guys will enjoy it. He really opens up. I think it's a good podcast. Brought to you today by American Family Insurance agent Joel Duffy with the Gustafson Agency. Get this, guys. Joel is a third-generation Cyclone fan, and you can trust him to take care of your most valuable possessions. Doesn't matter if you're looking for home, auto, life, commercial, insurance. Joel, my guy Joel, is the one you need to talk to. You can reach out to him. Here's his phone number, 319-363-7214. Again, I'll read that, 319-363-7214, or email him at jduffy1@amfam.com. Oh, and by the way, if you're an Iowa fan listening, don't worry about applying. All right, here's my one-on-one exclusive interview with Iowa State head coach Steve Prohm. All right, we are on location today. I always like to go off and interview Iowa State personalities, and I'm in the office of head coach Steve Prohm today. Coach, happy summer, man. Happy camp week here at Iowa State.
Yeah, we are in camp week. I got 400 kids over there, over in Lead Rec, and I got a great turnout, got a great staff. And what I've been most impressed the first couple of days is our kids are doing a tremendous job of really interacting, not just with the campers, but with the parents, taking pictures, signing autographs. Our fan base loves our guys.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest thing at a school like Iowa State is to make sure you got guys that are going to want to give back, want to sign the autographs, take the pictures, because there is such a great, great following. And so today's Jersey Day. And
what's that mean?
Jersey Day, it's something that we started new here that I used to do in the past at my old camps, and tell everybody the night before, go home, get your favorite jersey. So it could be, we had Von Miller's, somebody brought a Broncos Von Miller, somebody brought Walter Payton, a Kenneth Faried Denver Nuggets.
Nice.
But in honor of Iowa State in history, the winner of this year's Jersey Day was Freddie Hoiberg.
Wow.
It was an old school, number 32. And so his daughter's actually working camp, so I told him to send it up to Chicago and get it signed for the camera. And so
that's cool.
But it was good. And then we had one make up their own jersey of a Steve Prohm Oglethorpe University jersey, where I spent about a half semester playing down there my freshman year.
Really?
They finished second. I had to get them at least a second place.
Where's Oglethorpe located?
Atlanta, Georgia, right?
Oh, okay.
In Dunwoody. So I stayed there a year. Played actually first semester, and then I stayed the second semester. I didn't play the second semester. Ironically, me and the coach didn't get along that well.
Oh, okay.
And so I ended up, I wanted to go to a bigger school though.
Yeah.
Because I knew I wanted to get into coaching. If, you know, we may touch on this a little bit, if broadcasting didn't work out.
Yeah, that's right. So, I'm going to hammer you on that today.
I ended up transferring to Alabama so I could get around a good Division I basketball program and then try to work my way into coaching.
Did we have any Washington Redskins jerseys today?
We did. We had the same guy that had the Steve Prohm Oglethorpe University jersey. He had a Redskin Prohm 31 jersey.
This guy was just pandering.
He was he was begging for the win. But you know, I had to Hoiberg. The applause was louder, so I had to give it to Hoiberg. But we had an RG3 jersey.
Nice.
Redskins. We didn't have the new Browns jersey, so those were the only two Redskin jerseys we had in there. No Minnesota Vikings jerseys.
That's shocking.
A couple A-Rod jerseys.
It sounds like you have a bunch of front runners in this camp.
Yeah.
I mean,
we've got
Teddy Bridgewater.
There was quite a few. We had about five or ten Steph Curry, but no Adrian Peterson, no Teddy Bridgewater.
Is Steph Curry the, when you work with these young kids, is he now the guy that they're all emulating?
Yeah, he's taking a, we called a kid up to the front of the camp yesterday. I got there, I can't remember if it was Monte or Naz. He said, "Coach, find the guy with Steph. He even does his mouthpiece the same way. He pulls the mouthpiece out, half in, half out."
Oh, no.
And
they pay attention to mouthpieces now?
Yeah, from shoes all the way to mouthpieces, they've got them all pegged.
So what does that tell you about the future of basketball? Kind of getting off topic here, but like, because it used to be everybody tried to dunk, right? Now you see, are you seeing kids like trying to shoot half-court shots? Like, how does this emulate to the future?
Well, I think the one positive, I think people now know that you better work on your skill level. You know, that's why, you know, we talked about Niang off the air, and that's why I think he's got such a great shot to make it, is because you look at the Golden State Warriors right now and how effective they are.
Yeah.
They all can do three things: pass, dribble, and shoot. And when you watch guys like Steph Curry or you watch guys like Draymond Green and you understand their IQ for the game is so high and they can pass, dribble, and shoot, hopefully it's going to get kids in the gym. And instead of trying to dunk like you saw years ago, they're going to work on – you see Steph Curry before the game doing his two-ball dribbling. You see him out there an hour before the – 2 hours before the game doing a 45-minute shooting workout or routine. And you'll have guys shooting it from the stands at times, you know. You know, because – you know, Steph likes to do that as well. But I think it's good for the game. I think it's good. And everybody's going to have different arguments about, you know, is, you know, you hear all the time, is the NBA watered down? Is it not as good? Obviously, the West is terrific compared to the East, I think. But the game's fun to watch, regardless if it was the 80s or now. But I did like watching Jordan and all there. The biggest difference I see is you don't have the overtaking the throne that you used to have where the Pistons had to beat the Celtics. Then the Bulls had to beat the Pistons, and the Knicks were in there, and you had the same teams kind of fighting it out. Yeah. Now it's just kind of, you know, the teams change really quickly.
Is the like, Warriors style of ball why we're seeing more blowouts in the playoffs too? I mean, it seems we've seen really, really good games, and they're like all-time classics, and then the next night it'll be a 40-point game. Is that indicative to the style of play?
Yeah, I think so. I think so because if you're going to play at that tempo sometimes, you can have good nights and bad nights. When you shoot quick and you don't get back on defense, you can give up easy baskets. And that's why, you know, I think Golden State will win in five, but, you know, they haven't played well on the road of late. They won game six, which was big, but they did go to Oklahoma City and get blown out twice. So it'll be interesting to see how Cleveland responds.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm an idiot. I'm not like a LeBron fan at all, but I kind of picked them before the series just because I'm a sucker for Cleveland because of the Vikings fan that I am. I feel bad for just perennial losers as far as fan bases go.
You're going to get Coach Campbell on your bad side now. You know, he's diehard Cleveland.
Well, I'm not calling him a loser. I'm saying that they haven't won, like his fans, right?
Yeah, I texted him yesterday. I said, man, tough first two games, and he hadn't responded yet, so he still may be a little upset about those two games.
Yeah, I always see his staff like tweeting during the
They love
Cavs
his
games.
I think they're all big Cleveland fans because when we were on the tailgate tour, him and his assistant that he was talking with were, you know, following that Cavs Raptors series really close. But he's a diehard Cleveland guy.
Did you have a team growing up?
NBA, not really.
You weren't a Bullets fan or anything
You know, not really. Now, that's the only – you know, the NBA is the only team that I'd ever really had an affiliation, a team that I just followed. Obviously, I grew up as a big Scottie Pippen fan and followed the Bulls. Loved Jordan, obviously, but Pippen was the guy I really liked on that team. But
that's interesting, yeah.
You know, I did grow up – the one true pro team that I grew up loving was just the Washington Redskins. That is, in Washington, if you grow up there, that's your team. You know, and then – you know, I grew up really on Big East basketball and some ACC basketball just living in Virginia. So Georgetown was the only game. Every Monday night, Georgetown was on TV. Mm-hmm. So you'd watch Georgetown-Syracuse, Georgetown-St. John's, Georgetown-Villanova. And so when I went to go watch college games, I'd go to Georgetown to the Capitol Center back when they used to play in the Capitol Center. And so that was my, you know, college following.
We had that in common. That's crazy. I was hooked into Allen Iverson back in the day. I loved those teams, like Othello Harrington and Jerome Williams and all those teams.
Yeah, I just
got really hooked on them.
They had a big special last night, Allen Iverson, and Steve Smith interviewed him. We were watching last night. I just watched last night. They had a new interview. They just came out with him talking about him getting into the Hall of Fame and just his career in general. But he was obviously a terrific talent.
He's fascinating. So one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you today, amongst other things, is you've got this – big event coming up on June 22nd at Talents of Tuscany, where you and Dan Gable and Dick Vitale are all getting together. And, man, Vitale is just – he's done so much for the V Foundation and all of his charitable work. But I'm friends with Ray Cole, and he's one of the organizers of the event, and he's been telling me about this for a while. So – But I know we've had conversations in the past. I find this fact that you wanted to be a sportscaster when you were a kid. Is that right?
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, I've always loved it. Vitale, I've go back a long way with Vitale, kind of from afar, and I'll tell a little bit of the story. Is, you know, I grew up, I've always done the Dick Vitale impersonations, and I'll get to that at some point today.
Looking forward to that.
but, you know, when I started at Oglethorpe, he came and talked to our team. He was in town with Atlanta, and he came by, and you know, and I sent him a letter, and I got a ball, I got a book, I got everything, and he sent me everything. And then so, you know, I always followed Vital and loved him, and you know, before the games at Alabama, I'd have my little crew with me. One guy was John Saunders, I was Vital, and yeah. The next guy was, you know, Chris Berman, whoever it may be, and we'd joke and talk about what the upcoming game, Alabama, Arkansas, whatever it may be. But and then I got a chance to, my first year at Murray State, you know, we started 23-0. Mm-hmm. We were the last unbeaten team in the country. And as the season progressed, they started this hashtag, Bring Dickie V to Murray. Bring Dickie V to Murray.
Really?
And so for our bracket buster game, ESPN sent Vital to cover our game versus St. Mary's.
Nice.
And so he flew in and came and did our game, and he was unbelievable. And it was like, it was the biggest day, I think, in Murray, Kentucky history to have Vital in there. And it was a surreal day for the program and the community. And so got a chance to get to know him even better there. And then he invited me down to his gala, which is one of the most impressive cancer, you know, fundraising, you know,
yeah.
Events that I've ever been a part of. And that was phenomenal. I hadn't been able to be back. I haven't gone back since. The NBA Combine sometimes in that same weekend, and I've been up there the last couple of years. But that's why when I got here and Vital called about this event, mm-hmm. I was like, are you serious? I was like, I'll jog there. Yeah, I'll be there.
That's awesome.
It's humbling, but it's awesome to be a part of. You know, I'm a huge, huge fan of his. He's the best. He's great for college basketball. He's great for cancer research and helping people.
When you were growing up, did you have a broadcaster that you looked up to? A guy, maybe one of your favorites?
Yeah, Vital really
was
the guy.
Vital was your guy?
Yeah, Vital
whole
was
time,
the guy.
Huh?
Yeah, Vital was
That's
the guy.
Awesome.
I loved him the whole time. I mean, obviously, it's watching the NFL today growing up and seeing Brent Musburger, and now he's calling Big Monday games. For
yeah.
me personally, that's like, wow. You know, I mean,
absolutely.
Because I'm 41, so I'm still young. I mean, I grew up watching Brent Musburger, NFL Today. That's where you recognize him. And then now he's Big Monday, and I'm shaking hands with him, and that was cool. But Vital was the guy. I mean, he was the one that you know, I've always loved and followed and, you know, been watching him for whatever, probably 25 years.
It's funny that you told that story about when he came to Murray and how big of a deal it was, because he did the same thing here. He had never called a game in Hilton. Man, it was that Michigan game, the home game. I don't know.
A couple years ago. Monte's freshman year, I think.
I think that's right, yeah. Because Melvin was just coming back from an ACL injury. Melvin Edgem was, I think. He hurt his knee or something like that during camp. And he had never been here. And, you know, even at a Big 12 school like Iowa State, there were – you know how the students camp out and do all that stuff? Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
How about that?
That's a photo of it, yeah, right there. But, yeah, it was I mean, the bobbleheads, and, yeah, everybody had the signs. I mean, it's fascinating to me how a broadcaster can transcend just being a broadcaster and you become an icon for an entire sport.
Yeah, he's done an unbelievable job of just getting people involved and following the game. And he has such a great passion and energy. And then when he comes on your campus – it just radiates throughout everybody. I mean, he's out there early. He's rebounding and shooting with guys. And
he came through the press room.
Yep.
And just handed us all pamphlets for his gala. Like, and it was the nicest guy ever.
Yeah, he is. He was first class. He sat down. I got a picture in my basement of me and him just sitting down on the bench 2 hours before tip-off, just talking. And then he went in town and went to dinner in town. And it was really cool. It meant a lot for him to come, but he's just been a guy that I've followed and loved from afar for a long, long time.
What about a guy now? Not necessarily a college basketball guy. When you're watching your Redskins play, or I know you're a Caps fan, like, is there a broadcaster out there that you really appreciate his style, how he does it?
You know – Gus Johnson is one. And the only reason he comes to my mind quick is just when he covered the NCAA tournament, he's had some great calls and great moments. You know, like to listen to him. John Madden, obviously, you know, and he doesn't do it now, but, you know, Joe Buck, and I'm not a huge baseball guy.
Yeah.
But Buck is, he's, you know, he's legendary.
I like Buck. You know. He gets a bad rap from some people, but I like him. I don't have a problem with him.
Yeah, I think, you know, he's just, you know, him and his father had some, you know, some legendary calls.
Yeah.
And so, you know, but I'm trying to think off the top of my head, you know, the guys. Brent's, there's nothing better than Brent Musburger on Big Monday. You know, Jay Billis now is, you know, become the big face of ESPN, you know, and broadcasting and in the studio. I think Fran does a terrific job.
I think Fran, if you were to pull Iowa State's fan base, he'd probably be the most popular guy out there just because of his knowledge of the Big 12 is second to none.
Yeah, he loves the Big 12. He loves following it, and he does a really good job. And I've first met him down there at the gala.
You know,
he covered our conference tournaments, and so I got to know him. And then at the gala, I got to know him a little bit better, and I've kind of known him since. But I'm trying to think of the really good NFL announcers these days.
The NFL is kind of tough because they just bounce around
so
much.
They're all.
You don't get used to one guy calling your team's game very often.
They're all over the place. But Troy Aikman's good.
I like Troy Aikman.
You know, Troy's good. And then you've got some that are really good, and then you got some that are not so good.
I hear you there.
That's probably the best way to say that. But you know, there's what was cool. That's like I texted you that picture of you know, when I did the interview with the fake dolphin.
Yes.
You know.
I wanted to talk to you about that.
And I'm watching TV, and I didn't realize he was really an ESPN guy. I thought he was. And I'm like, man, he's really good. I think he's sharp.
Hassel?
Hassel's going to have a long, long career.
I wanted to talk to you about that because – so he had this whole career here before he went to ESPN, and he's a really good sportscaster, and he's a really smart guy. But kind of what made Hassel shine were these impersonations and these – kind of Saturday Night Live skits. And you were in a really odd situation there because all of a sudden this guy comes up to you in a wig. And did you even know who Gary Dolphin was, the voice of the Iowa Hawkeyes? Like, did you even know who he was spoofing?
Not really. that's why I told, you know, they kind of told me, and I didn't know what we were going for at first.
Yeah.
And then I'd never met him either, so I didn't know how he looked or how he talked, you know, and so because I was trying to think, where would I have met him yet? And so, and then I start into this interview, and he starts zinging at me, and I was like, shoot, I got to go back at him, you know. And,
you played it right.
Yeah, he was good. And then when I did the Niang kiss, that's when I was like, man, maybe the fan base may be like, all right, man, he's down with us now. That's our guy.
I think you won some people over.
And so I videotaped sound off that night, and I sent it to George because he probably would appreciate that more than anybody. But, you know, hopefully everybody, you know, Fran knows that was just in good fun for the coaches.
If anything, Fran should be apologizing for you for Hassel cornering you like that.
But it was good, and he had some quick one-liners that you had to be ready to bounce back quick with. And so, you know, that's what he tried to. He didn't want to talk about the second half. He only wanted to talk about the first half.
So, have you heard what he did? He was on the air that night. Mm-mm. Chris Hassel was. He I don't know if he gave – I think he gave some – so he's a big Hawk fan, right? And
– oh, I didn't know he really is a Hawkeye fan.
Yes.
Okay.
Born and raised. And he gave
– come on, Hassel.
Yeah, I know. It's pathetic. I was born one, but I saw the light.
Yeah.
He was getting all cocky on the air about the game. And then afterwards –
I remember that.
After you guys had come back, he like walked onto the set and was like, "What? We lost?"
Yeah.
It was funny.
I remember watching that night.
About it.
I remember watching that night, and that's right. I didn't realize. That's right. I sure do remember that now. And so, we'll get him converted. We got time. We got time.
So then you're just randomly watching Sound Off like a week later.
Yeah.
Or you're watching SportsCenter, I guess.
Yep.
And you're like, "Wait a second, that's the fake Gary Dolphin guy?"
Yeah.
That's just crazy to me that's how you found out like who he was and the whole everything behind it.
I'm watching it, and my wife's sitting next to me, and nowadays technology, you know, I just paused the TV, and I said to my wife, I said, I think that's the guy that interviewed me in Des Moines. And she's like, no, it can't be. And I'm like, yeah, they said he had an ESPN connection, but I thought it was maybe an ESPN affiliation, you know, around here.
Yeah.
You know how you have the ESPN affiliates. And so – That's when I took the picture of the TV and I sent it to you, and I was like, is this the guy I think it is?
Yeah.
And you were like, yeah. And so I need to get him some Iowa State gear. We need to send him a care package up there to Bristol.
I think that sounds like a good idea. You let me know.
Send me your address, Hassel, if you're listening to
we'll
this.
We'll make sure that he hears that. No, that's fine. I guess the point of this is I like to sit down with you guys in the off season so fans can get to know you a little bit more. I get your take on the team and stuff, but you're going to be talking about that the other 364 days out of the year.
Yeah. We'll take one day off.
Yeah. Yeah. So you go home. Let's say you have a rare night at home. Okay. You and your wife, and you maybe get cast to bed early. What are you guys watching on TV? What's on the DVR at the prom house?
You know, could be a couple different things. Cass is probably going to start screaming in about 30 minutes.
Oh, I understand that.
And so, but no, he gets to bed. If we haven't watched, you know, and a lot of these, everything's gone to the end now because the spring season, you know, the finales have all happened. But
yeah,
Nashville.
My wife and I loved it.
Nashville is a big thing for us.
What about that finale?
You know, that's just, what I
– Is Juliet Barnes dead?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think, you know, because my wife said, she goes, you know, they canceled Nashville. And I was like, oh, man, I kind of like the show.
I like that show,
and
yeah.
it gives you a release a little bit.
Absolutely.
And so she tells me that. And then when we were out of town the other day, and she saw something that they're going to bring Nashville back, but I think it's going to go on to another channel.
Okay.
And so that would be great. So
well, that's,
if
that's,
that happens.
You just
then,
made my day, man.
Yeah, so I think that's coming back. Scandal. Scandal. You know, that's something we watch together.
Now, what's the basis of that show? I've never seen it.
Scandal?
Yeah.
Man, it's taken so many turns now, but basically it's a show about the president, you know, and his mistress, Olivia Pope, which is Kerry Washington, and how they got him into the office. And then it just kind of – it's played off that, and Olivia Pope kind of – she takes care of things for people. And
it sounds intriguing.
It is. It's a good show. But once you start going season to season, it starts getting so – you really got to be following it.
I got you.
My wife's trying to get me – she's a big Netflix, so – you know, we'll watch Empire a little bit.
Okay.
We'll watch that. We used to, back a couple years ago, we followed Revenge for a long time. I don't know if you ever watched Revenge.
I never did, no.
And it started great, and it kind of just, you know.
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah, but Family Feud, we'll throw Family Feud on.
That's an oldie, but a goodie.
And we'll throw that on, and that's why people probably think I won. We won the Cyclone Feud because I watched the Family Feud.
Oh, I haven't seen the Cyclone Feud this year. You won it?
Dominated.
Really?
Yeah. It was the worst beating ever in Cyclone tailgate history.
I have that on my to-do list to watch that on Cyclones TV. You had no competition at all.
I was shocked that it wasn't that competitive. Kevin Jackson led the way, and I had a great teammates in Kevin and Coach Finley. And I think it was 800-68 or something.
Wow, that's embarrassing.
It was a beating. And
congratulations on that.
Yeah, Kevin Jackson, he did the double hammer on him, and it was over. But, you know, we'll watch that. Law & Order. My wife loves Law & Order, so I'll try to watch that with her.
That's good because you don't have to follow it every week, right? It's just like a new case
every
week.
Yeah, a new case every week.
Yeah.
But that's kind of, you know, our shows. If she starts going to the reality housewife stuff, then I'll usually go to the other room to – and she'll probably, if she was on air, she'd be screaming, he watches Days of Our Lives. I'll skim through Days of Our Lives every now and then.
Those daily talk, like soap operas, are they still on?
It's like, yeah, they're still on. And I'll I don't watch them, but I'll skim through them just to kind of keep abreast. But I like to have a little something outside that I can change my mind, because if not, you'll go crazy.
I'm the same way. Like after I have two jobs, and at 9 o'clock at night, like I don't want to read about Big 12 basketball anymore.
Yeah.
No offense.
Yeah, no, there's a point where you've got to – and I've learned about – now my son shows about –
what's he like?
You know, I'm trying to think of that song off the top of my head.
The Lion Guard?
No, we just put on 289. I just – DirecTV, I just know when he starts going, man, put on channel 289, it's Disney.
Yeah, that's Disney Junior.
Yep, and we just roll with that.
My daughter does too.
And he just sits there and he gets pretty engrossed.
Mickey Mouse Clubhouse,
that's right.
It's a big deal.
Come inside.
The hot dog, it's fun inside.
Come inside. Yeah. It's the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse.
Exactly.
Come in. That's his little lingo.
When that song hits too, like these little people – they just, like, their face just brightens up.
Oh, man, he loves it, man. He is up early and ready to go. And but I tell you what, and I was at father-son camp. It's the first time I did a father-son camp this past weekend. There is nothing better. You know, somebody asked me, they were joking about my best three moments of this year. You know, beating Iowa, going to Sweet 16. We were joking on the bus, winning the Cyclone feud. But and I mean, there is nothing better than being a father. It changes your perspective on everything. And you don't really realize how much your parents love you until you have a child. And then you understand.
I completely understand what you're talking about.
And so, but yeah, Cass is the man.
It was fun to me because our kids are – how old's Cass?
15 months this weekend.
Cameron's 16 months, so they're right around. And it was fun for me to – I think it was in Denver or Chicago, one of the two.
Yeah.
Just watching you carry him around the court. And it – like I get this – I could feel like how special of a moment that was.
Yeah, that was the best thing. And I was walking – we were at the Coaches vs. Cancer Gala in Des Moines, and that's a really cool deal. And the one thing we were talking about off the air is the Iowa State rivalry. But what is cool here, because the kind of people that there are in Iowa – that they all do embrace one another to where they are happy that the success of all three programs this year, all four coaches come together to support cancer in May and in August at two different Coaches vs. Cancer events. And that part's cool. But I was leaving the event, and they had pictures. They had a Northern Iowa wall with pictures kind of rotating, Iowa State wall.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at it as walking out, and they had a picture of me walking my son off the floor at the either the, after we won against Iona or Little Rock, I can't remember, and I was like, man, that's an awesome moment, and so that makes it fun, and he doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah, but what's cool about that, and I'm starting to realize this too, is that they change so quickly.
Yep,
he's only going to be the size he was when you were carrying him around for a couple of weeks, and then he changed. Like, so you had that to cherish forever.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's. He is an upbeat, happy baby, man.
Is he walking yet?
15 steps and falls.
Okay.
Then next day it's 10 steps and falls, 20 steps and falls, 4 steps. And so he's getting there. He's getting there. But, you know, he loves the water. My wife took him to the pool yesterday. He loves the water, though. And so I'm going to take him. I need to take him to the pool this weekend and hang out with him.
You just go, like, to the Ames community?
Yeah, just go to the Ames. Well, the Ames Country Club. Yeah. And I tell you what's cool is in town, they got this aquatic center.
Yeah, that's big
time. And it's like, it looks like a water park. I just drove by there the other day up close to look at it, and it's a lot of nice things.
Yeah, it's a neat deal. What was your first tailgate tour experience like?
Unbelievable. I told everybody, because my wife's obviously from Murray, and so after the tour, I went back and met her. She was back at her home for a little bit, and I went back and hung out there for a couple of days, and I just told the people that I've talked with there, I said I've just never seen anything like it. There really can't be five fan bases better or as good. I mean, it's just every place we went, sold out, packed, the energy, the emotion, you know. This fan base is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is so impressive. And it's a place where, and I said this, that was the cool thing about going from where I came from to here is there's a lot of similarities, but this stage is just a whole lot bigger and it's a whole lot more.
Yeah.
And so you can impact so many more people, and there's so many more people you got to touch. But it's an unbelievable fan base that really cares. So what it does, it makes you want to win that much more to make these people happy and give them something to be proud of. And I had a lot of great moments on that tour. And, you know, it's amazing. You got 8-year-old kids coming up to you.
Yeah.
Beat the Hawkeyes, coach. Another 8-year-old kid. Monte needs to shoot more, coach. 10-year-old kid, you know. And you know, I love Coach Hoiberg to death. So this kid was just Joe, but he comes up to me and he goes, "Tough loss to Virginia, Coach."
Was he serious?
And I was like, yeah. I said, we didn't play well. He goes, but this kid's 10 years old now. He goes, but Coach, hey, you made it farther than Fred did last year. And so I'm like, these kids are 8 and 10 years old.
Yeah.
And so that park's cool, and it matters.
It's
and,
funny you know, that you brought up the kids, because, I mean, I give Jamie Pollard credit for a lot of what's happened here. I think if Iowa State had a Mount Rushmore, he would be on it. But I think maybe to me, the most impactful thing that I've seen from him was when he started this tailgate tour. And he, when you go on these trips, like these, it's so kid involved, kid yep. heavy, right? They're, you know, like kids will start a Cyclone Power chant, whatever. Yep. Well, when he started doing the tailgate tour, those kids were 5 and they're like 16 now. And they're starting to think about college. Yep. And I think a lot of them may not have been Iowa State fans at the time. I mean, to me, it's a really cool grassroots way of how they built up the fan base.
I think it's – and there's so many ideas to where I was even telling people that I – back when I went to visit my wife's family and everybody, I was telling people there, I was like, hey, this is cool what they did here. You guys ought to think about doing this to kind of touch some different people. See, what he's done is they used to do golf tournaments. So – me playing in 27 golf tournaments and hanging with 3 guys for 4 hours at 27 days out of June and July, I'm only touching 81 people.
Yeah.
The way this tour works, you're touching thousands on a daily basis.
Yeah.
I mean, there was days we would do 5 activities. And when I say activities, I mean functions to where stopping by a booster's home, you know, going to a meet and greet at this person's house, doing a luncheon, doing a dinner. And so when you're doing all that, now we're touching, we're signing thousands of autographs, taking thousands of pictures, getting a chance to talk in front of a ton of different people.
Yeah.
And so that has totally changed the landscape. And like you said, when you got them early, that's why you can kind of slowly see, and I don't know all the numbers, but from what I gather, Iowa State has really kind of changed the color of this state over the last several years.
In central Iowa, I think, for sure. I mean, the Polk County especially, it's been fascinating to watch. And I think, too, that's why the rivalry's kind of escalated
yep.
the way it has over the last 15 years or so.
And so, but there's not many places you're going to coach to where you can have 4 generations – all go into the game.
Yeah.
You got great grandparents, grandparents, parents, and children.
Yep.
That's what go to the games here.
Yeah.
And now that I know the state better, driving around it for the last 2 weeks or a couple weeks ago, to where you had people drive in on a Wednesday night, 3.5 hours, and then they'd go right back to Sioux City or Dubuque or wherever it may be, and they're driving in. I said, man, that's unheard of, you know. And so – it was, you know, and you get a lot of good compliments. You know, the good thing for me, too, being new, you know, you always – and I'm a guy that I always worry what people think. Am I doing good enough? Am I accepted? Are they – you know, am I going to be able to do a good job here? And you had a lot of people say some good, genuine things to me, which was cool for me just to hear that. And even just something as simple as, hey, coach, enjoyed how you did senior night, you know, and, you know, giving those guys that stage. And
yeah.
And I like doing that. That's how I've done it, and that's how we'll do it. But for George to walk out in front of 15,000 people at the end was, to me, that was a cool moment this year.
That was incredible. It was also one of the most odd games I think I've ever covered. Because
brutal,
the emotion, like, George was crying before the game.
Oh, they were.
And then you had a tough Big 12 game to play after that, and the guys didn't play their best game, but you somehow gutted it out.
Yeah.
That was a really really special night all the way around.
That was. We show a video before the game, you know, a senior tribute video. I've always shown a senior tribute video before the game.
Is this back in the locker room?
Yeah, this is back in the locker room. Because when we go into the locker room, when they come back in at the 8 to 10-minute mark, whenever they come back in, 12 minutes, you know, everybody, you know, they go to the bathroom, they get a Gatorade water, tie their shoes tighter, whatever they do.
Yeah.
And then when they sit down, then we show the video. Or I'm sorry, it's a 30-minute mark.
Okay.
We show the video of personnel, you know, Chris Williams, Danielle Robinson, William Small, T.J. Otzelberger.
Yeah.
And what all do they do? Well, on senior night, it just goes right into the senior tribute. And it touches your heart now.
Yeah.
It takes you to the core, and there's not many dry eyes when you walk out of there. But – my thing is I want to touch them emotionally like that. And it may have some bearing on the game sometimes it doesn't. But senior nights are always tough to kind of grind through it. And it wasn't a perfect game, but we won, and that was, we got out of there.
So you mentioned on the tailgate tour, It's funny because I feel like I was talking to Fred when you said it. Fred would always, he would always say this: if I get 100 positive comments, I'm going to lose sleep over the one negative one.
No question.
You seem like the same type. Have you hardened at all since you got here a year ago, or is it?
No. Still... I'm always going to be who I am.
Yeah.
I will say, I do. If I get 100 great ones, the one or two that they are the ones that I'll always analyze or always overthink. And I've got to get better at that. But it means a lot to me I want to continue to keep this program at a high level. I want to impact people here, not just as a basketball. I don't want to be known just as a basketball coach. I want to be known as one of the great leaders at Iowa State University. That's what I want to be known as. That's what I want my role to be.
You've got a guy just right across the office who's, I know, thinks a lot of you and has helped you out, and Coach Finley too.
He's been terrific. I can't thank him enough, because this season wasn't perfect. You go through, I drew a line with my team, with the team in the beginning of the year, of success, and it goes in a lot of different angles to get to where you want to be. And to get to the fifth Sweet 16, that was cool. And along the way, though, it was off. Not on the great nights, but on the tough nights when I'd walk in the next day, I'd have a good note from him. Text message. I'll pop across the hall when I was just, down and out a little bit, and he'd talk to me. And, the longevity of success that he's had here, that's what I want to emulate and have that type of longevity of success when I look at some of these coaches. And I've been fortunate to have a great start.
Yeah.
But I want to continue to – to win at a high level, win the right way, but really, now that I've been here a year and I'm more comfortable, I can start. I think that's what Jamie said to me on the tour. It was like, wow, people finally see how you let your guard down a little bit and kind of get to who you are.
Absolutely. Last question for you. We've got to hear this Vitale impression.
All right. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready for this.
Mr. Williams, you are super scintillating, sensational. You are awesome, baby. You are awesome, baby, with a capital A. Mr. Williams, you are a super.
That's pretty good.
So
you just exceeded expectations right there.
Yep. So that's
how long? How many years have you been working on that?
Man, I do it all the time. So
do you ever do it in practice for the guys?
Never in practice.
I
don't know if the guys have heard it, but I've been doing it for years. But he that's his little deal. You are awesome, baby.
Oh yeah, and the capital and A. So, that's perfect. I wouldn't have thought to put that in there.
Yep. And so, but I love Vital, and I joked all the time. I really wanted to go to broadcasting first, and then I was like, no, I want to coach. I want to stay around basketball. And then if I can hopefully have some success when I'm done and ready to retire and spend more time with my family, then I can hopefully ease into broadcasting.
We can do a podcast together.
No question about it.
That?
We'll do it.
And
we'll
do we still have our bet, too, on the Vikings-Redskins game? So if
no doubt about it. What do you want to bet?
Well, if the Vikings win, I get the coach –
the Kansas game?
Yeah, I get to coach the Kansas game this year. If the Redskins win, you can do my radio show for a week. Hell, you can do it for a month.
let's do a Mods dinner.
Okay, deal. I don't think that the Kansas game would be contractually.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know what Jamie Pollard would think about that.
I don't know if I can do that one. I'll let you call the first set. I'll let you call the first action.
Deal.
And so
lob to Holden.
Yep, lob to Holden, or just have Long shoot a 30-footer.
Yeah, exactly.
And do a Steph Curry impersonation.
I've always been I love all the guys, but I've always had a place in my heart for Matt Thomas, just because he had he committed so early in the process where I was covering him and I got to know him a little bit, and then TJ was kind of his guy.
Yep.
TJ, and I was always like, man, that kind of stinks for Matt, but Matt was always such a trooper, and he had such a hard first year, and he's kind of like you, Coach, where he just, if he hears negative comments or sees stuff, like, it really would weigh on Matt. And I've seen so much growth from that kid from day one to where he's at now. I'd probably call for Matt for a three. He's kind of my guy. I'm a unapologetic Matt Thomas Schill. I'm fine with that.
If you he had a terrific year. You look at his stats from his sophomore to his junior year, you know, they were terrific.
Yeah.
He had an amazing year, really on both ends of the floor, and a lot of our guys did. I think we were the second ranked team in offensive efficiency. You know, all of our offensive stats improved. You know, one of the things we've got to do here getting in the summer, and really not as much in the summer. The summer is more for skill development and in the weight room. But, you know, come fall, we've got to become a better defensive team. And if we can do that, I think we'll have enough guys that can make shots and put the ball in the hole to put ourselves in position to win some games.
I think it's going to be a fun team.
So, but I appreciate you doing this. This was good, man. Anytime.
Thank you.
If anybody needs any other Vital,
well, we got our guy now.
We'll do it.
No, we appreciate it. I know how busy you are. So thank you very much for taking an hour out of your day.
No, thank you. Appreciate it.
He's head coach Steve Prohm. Thanks for listening, everybody. We appreciate it.